I grew up in a clergy household, my father being a Lutheran pastor. When he made our family Advent wreath, he didn't mess around. He was serious. Not only were there the four big fat candles for each of the four Sundays of Advent and the big tall fat white candle for Christmas, there was an individual white candle for every single day of Advent. This wreath was huge. Once my three sisters, my brother, and I were finished fighting about who was going to light the candles and who was going to blow them out, we actually listened to our family devotions, which were read by my father. There was a rhythm, a movement, a flow in our family life as I was growing up that taught me the importance in the way of growing, not just physically and in social niceties, but growing in spirit and truth and heart and mind and wisdom and stature and favor with God and with people. Such is the calling and the goal of today's lessons and liturgy on this first Sunday after Christmas. To grow. To grow in wisdom. In this soul boyhood account of Jesus that we hear from the New Testament today from the Gospel of Luke, we hear what must become most important, what must take the top priority in every human life if that life is to grow in the image and in the love in which we have been created. And that most important of all things is to grow in our relationship with God as the foundation of all of our other relationships in life. God must come first. God must become our deepest, our highest, and our greatest love, because God is the very core essence and image of our being. There was a rhythm and movement and flow in Jesus' family life as he grew up in Nazareth. The Jewish father, in this case it would be Joseph, would lead the family in daily prayers and discussion. Families would gather on the Sabbath day to be led by the rabbis in prayer, in reading and interpreting the scriptures, in singing, and in praising God. On high festival days, whole villages and towns would sometimes make the pilgrimage all the way to the temple in Jerusalem. It was more than just a discipline that was practiced. There was a common and a communal assent to the purpose and goal behind the discipline, which was to grow in communion and understanding and love for God and for one another. Wherever there's a pure and a genuine assent to the purpose and goal of any discipline, it makes the doing of the discipline much more easy, especially in those times when we really don't feel like doing it. There is a reward in the doing of faithful discipline, even when you don't feel like doing it, but you do it anyway because you are so absolutely convinced and certain of its value. Our Lord is good to the promise. Ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. At some point in time, we all stop growing physically. I think it's somewhere in our early to mid-20s when the cells of our body start to break down and gradually decay. The heart and the mind, though, the spirit and the soul are built to last forever, and they are intended to grow forever. How are you growing in your relationship with God as the foundation for all of your other relationships in life? There's a mantra I like to repeat to try and still myself, to try and quiet all these inner rushing voices that keep coming at me and be still. It's from Psalm 46. Be still then and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still be and turning everything else off and attaining some semblance of inner quiet, God actually speaks to us personally and powerfully. There are many different ways of praying. Silence, symbol, poetry, music, movement, and sacrament are usually much more helpful than mere words. All true and genuine prayer will lead us from being fear-driven to being love-drawn. Learning to pray constantly, as Paul says, is learning to see through new lenses, to see through new eyes, to see all of reality and all of life, to see all creation and all people as sacred, loved, and full of wonder. Anyone who's grown up in the Anglican tradition and received catechetical instruction from the Book of Common Prayer has probably been referred to page 555. This speaks about having a rule of life. Everyone who takes Christian faith in life and following Jesus as Lord seriously will have a rule of life. And your rule of life will always be in flux. It'll always be changing according to one's age and condition and circumstances and situation in life. Here's some of the basic ingredients of what's usually included in a classic Christian rule of life. I'll read to you from page 555 in the prayer book. Every Christian man or woman should from time to time frame a rule of life in accordance with the precepts of the gospel and the faith and order of the church. The regularity of attendance at public worship and especially at the Holy Communion. The practice of private prayer, Bible reading, and self-discipline. Bringing the teaching and example of Christ into everyday life. The boldness of spoken witness to faith in Christ. Personal service to the church and to the community. The offering of money according to one's means for the support and work of the church at home and overseas. Your rule of life will become woven into the fabric of the garment that is your life, revealing who you really are and shining with who you really are, a child of God made in the image of love. Our young clergy couple in this parish of the Valley, Jillian and Matthew, got me onto this author that I've mentioned publicly at least a couple of times before, Dr. David G. Benner, a psychologist, a member of the Anglican Church of Canada, especially in his gem of a little book called Living Wisdom. You can download it for nothing off of his website. And the value of this book isn't just in the reading of it, it's in the resource list at the end of each chapter that complements the contents of each of the chapters and includes things like movies, documentaries, radio broadcasts, music, art, and more. Jesus might have broken convention that day when he missed the caravan back to Nazareth and his parents' home. But in so doing, he shows us what must become most important, what must take top priority in every single human life if that life is to grow in the image and in the love in which we've been created. And that is the business of our Heavenly Father and the work of the kingdom that Jesus himself would reveal and establish in his own life and death and resurrection. The love that was made flesh in the babe of Bethlehem in this particular person at this particular point in time and history is the very same love that was breathed into us at the very beginning of creation. And God saw and God sees. It is very good. The greatest epitaph that could be written for any of us after our life on earth is done might be those words we heard today from the first book of Samuel, and from the Gospel of Luke, and she and he grew in wisdom and stature and favor with God and with people. Amen.